Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we have been looking at the role of the Sabbath in relationship to law and grace. In our program today, we'll be looking at the history of the Sabbath and prove from church history that the church celebrated the first day of the week and not the Sabbath from its very beginnings. I want to look at three things today. First of all, by looking at the common attack that Constantine was the one that changed the worship from Saturday to Sunday. Second, by giving you a historical overview of the Sabbath. And then third, by giving you numerous quotes from the church fathers and those of the early church that show that the early church worshiped on the first day of the week. Let's look at the refutation that Constantine was the one that changed the worship from the Sabbath to Sunday. And the common attack is that the Catholic Church is the one that brought this about and then brought in all these idolatrous practices. Well, I want to read to you from the Catholic Encyclopedia, and they should be the ones that know if Constantine or one of the popes is the one that brought this change about. And in the Catholic Encyclopedia, it reads this way. Sunday was the first day of the week according to the Jewish method of reckoning, but for Christians it began to take the place of the Jewish Sabbath in apostolic times as the day set apart for public and solemn worship. So the common attack is that Constantine switched the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday, which would have been the day that the sun god was worshipped, and that he was bringing in paganism into the church. Well, that is foolish because all the days of the week are patterned after some sort of idol. Saturday was related to Saturn, the day that Saturn was honored. So to make that claim, to make that boast, is just nonsense. Second of all, from another secular source, from Pliny, who was the governor of Bithynia in Asia Minor, he wrote in 107 AD to Trajan these following words about the Christians. They were wont to meet together on a stated day before it was light and sing hymns among themselves, alternatively a hymn to Christ as God. When these things were performed, it was their custom to separate and then come together again to a meal which they ate in common without any disorder. So here it says they met on a stated day before it was light. And this was written in 107. Now, he does not say it was on Saturday or Sunday, but with the quotes that I'll give you from the church fathers, we'll see that that stated day was Sunday and not Saturday. At this point, I want to give you a historical overview of the Sabbath. Some of these points we've already covered in our study this week. First of all, the first day of rest is recorded for us in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, where God rested from his work of creation. He ceased from his work because it was perfect. Then from that point, there is no mention of the Sabbath until 2,500 years later in Exodus chapter 20 in the giving of the Ten Commandments. There's no record of anyone honoring the seventh day as a Sabbath during those generations. Third, according to Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 18, it was a sign between the Lord and the nation of Israel that he gave the Sabbath to them. So it was a special sign that the nation of Israel was related to the Lord, that he was their Lord God. And then that continued on all the way through the time of Jesus Christ. But during what is called the intertestamental period, that 400 years at the close of the Old Testament until the time that John the Baptist shows up on the scene, when the nation of Israel is under God's judgment, there was a development of the synagogue. And this was without any Old Testament support because they didn't have access to the temple. And many rules were then at that point added to the observance of the Sabbath. And this is where Christ came in conflict in his time. He was not a Sabbath breaker. What he did was he violated all the legalistic laws that were added to the Sabbath by the rabbis through the oral tradition and the written laws. Again, they were man's laws, not God's laws. And I want to read some of these laws to you, and you can see how ridiculous they were, that are recorded for us in the Mishnah. And there's actually two tractates in the Mishnah, two separate chapters, that are written just to record the laws, the many laws that were added to the keeping of the Sabbath. There's actually 39 different types of labors which cannot be done on the Sabbath according to the Mishnah. And that is what the Pharisees accused the disciples of Jesus. Remember where they took grain on the Sabbath? Actually, you would rub your hands together to separate the wheat from the chaff. The Pharisees considered that to be doing work or labor on the Sabbath. And some of these laws that were placed upon the Jews were as follows. A small man should not wear a large shoe on the Sabbath, lest it comes off and he be compelled to carry it on the Sabbath. Then that would be an individual that would be bearing a burden on the Sabbath. Also, that small man should not wear a large shirt, since if he was to take it off, he'd be bearing a burden on that day. A woman should not go out with a torn shoe, lest people laugh at her and then she'd be compelled to carry it. This is one of my favorite ones that's recorded for us. A woman should not look into the mirror on the Sabbath. Lest she find a white hair, she'd be tempted to pluck it out, and that would be doing work on the Sabbath. Also, they had a lot of laws which related to food. Instead of a man took hold of a fruit with one hand, and then the Sabbath came upon him at that instant, he would have to drop that fruit, lest he be carrying a burden. Also, they taught a radish may be dipped into salt on the Sabbath, but not for too long, since this would be close to making a pickle, which would be doing work on the Sabbath. Another strange law that they had is that if a chicken laid an egg on the Sabbath, a Jew could not eat it, but he could sell it to a Gentile. Another one was that a man was not able to carry a handkerchief on the Sabbath, but what he could do is he could sew it into a garment, then technically he was not bearing a burden on the Sabbath. Also, they had laws as to how far an individual could travel on the Sabbath. And the rabbis came up with a man could travel 2,000 cubic feet from his house on the Sabbath. And they got that from several passages of Scripture, which I won't go into. But then they also said that if a person before the Sabbath day set food out 2,000 cubic feet away from his house, that would also consider to be a residence, and he would be able to travel another 2,000 cubic feet on the Sabbath day. See, these were laws that were added over time, which made the Sabbath a burden. And that's why Jesus in Mark chapter 2, verse 27 and 28, had to tell the Pharisees that the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath, and that he was Lord of the Sabbath. Now, Jesus himself did keep the Sabbath, because Galatians 4:4 says that he was born under the law, but that man had distorted the Sabbath and made it a burdensome thing. And Jesus didn't break the Sabbath, but he violated their laws. So when Jesus said that he was the Lord of the Sabbath, I believe he's communicating more than just the Lord of the seventh day. I believe he's saying he's the Lord of the rest. As he said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's that spiritual rest that Jesus Christ has given to the life of the church. And that came through his death, burial, and his resurrection. And that's why the church switched from observing the seventh day, which would have been Saturday, to the first day of the week, which would have been Sunday, to commemorate that rest that Jesus Christ gives, since he is the true Lord of the Sabbath. For the rest of our time together, I want to read directly to you from some of the writings of the church fathers, which clearly teach that the early church did not observe the Sabbath, but actually observed Sunday, or the first day of the week. And I want to start by reading from the apostolic fathers, and their writings were recorded from approximately 90 to 160 AD. And Ignatius, who wrote the Epistle to the Magnesians in approximately 110, in chapter 8, verse 1, says this: be not deceived with heterodox opinions, nor unprofitable fables. For if we still live according to Judaism, we confess that we have not received grace. For even the most holy prophets were persecuted, being inspired by his grace, to assure the disobedient that there is one God, who is his eternal word. So here it says, if we live according to the rules of Judaism, it shows that we have not received grace. Then in that same epistle, in chapter 9, verse 1, he says this: if then they who were concerned in old things arrived at a newness of hope, no longer observing the Sabbath, but living according to the Lord's day, by which our life sprung up by him, and by his death, whom certain persons deny, how can we live without him, whose disciples even the prophets were, and in spirit waited for him as their teacher? Wherefore, he whom they justly waited for when he came raised them up from the dead. We have been made his disciples, let us live according to Christianity. So here it speaks of living according to the Lord's day, because it relates to the resurrection. Then reading from the Epistle of Barnabas, which was written approximately from 110 to 150, in chapter 15, verse 8, he says this: your new moons and your Sabbaths I cannot endure. You perceive how he speaks. Your present Sabbaths are not acceptable to me, but that which I had made in giving rest to all things. I shall make a beginning of the eighth day, that is the beginning of another world. Wherefore also we keep the eighth day with joyfulness, a day also in which Jesus rose from the dead. The eighth day is a reference to Sunday, because actually Sunday is the first day of the week. Then from Diognetus, who wrote approximately 150, in chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, he wrote these words: but with regard to their qualms about meat and superstition concerning the Sabbath, and pride in circumcision, and hypocrisy about fasting and new moons, I doubt that you need to learn from me that they are ridiculous and not worth discussing. Verse 3 says, and it is not impious to slander God as though he forbids us to do any good on the Sabbath day. Verse 5, and as they watched the stars and the moon, so as to observe months and days and to make distinctions between the changing seasons ordained by God, making some into feasts and others into times of mourning, according to their own inclinations, who would regard this as an example of godliness and not much more a lack of understanding? Then the final work, reading from the Didache, which was written very early, probably very close to 90 AD, in chapter 14, verse 1, it records these words, on the Lord's own day, gather yourselves together and break bread and give thanks. So from the apostolic fathers, we see that the church gathered together on the first day, or the Lord's day, or the eighth day, which is Sunday. Then quoting later on from some of the other church fathers, Justin Martyr, whose dates are approximately from 100 to 165, he wrote this, and on the day called Sunday, all who live in cities or in country gather together in one place, and memoirs of the apostles or the writings of the prophets are read as long as time permits. Sunday is a day on which we all hold our common assembly because it is the first day in which God, having wrought a change in the darkness and matter, made the world, and Jesus Christ our Savior in the same day rose from the dead. Bardason, who was born about 154, writes the following, wherever we be, all of us are called by the one name of the Messiah, namely Christians, and upon one day, which is the first day of the week, we assemble ourselves together, and one the appointed days we abstain from foods. Irenaeus, Bishop of Lyons, in 178 wrote, the mystery of the Lord's resurrection may not be celebrated on any other day than the Lord's day. Cyprian, Bishop of Carthage in Africa, from 200 to 258 wrote, the Lord's day is both the first and the eighth day. Then Peter, Bishop of Alexandria, approximately 300, we keep the Lord's day as a day of joy because of him who arose thereon. This offers conclusive proof that the church gathered on the first day of the week, Sunday, to honor the Lord. If you'd like more information about Solid Ground or desire access to the tapes or want to be involved in our correspondence course, you could call us at the number that will be mentioned at the end of the program or contact us on the web at www.calvarylm.org.